Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in North America among church planters, partnering churches, and field partners. We invite you to listen to some of North America's best practitioners in the field of church planting. Now get ready, because the conversation is about to begin.
Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast hosted by the North American Mission Board. Well, we have a great guest today. I'm looking forward to getting a chance to interview a pastor who is a church planting pastor, a pastor who's put a church planting center in his church. We have Dr. David Nelms, who is the lead pastor of what he fondly calls the All Nations Church. We were talking earlier this morning at breakfast about 85 different nationalities in his church, and he is pastor of Grace Fellowship Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. So, Dr. David, welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast.
Tom, pleasure to be here.
Well, we are having a wonderful week here. We are at a church planter conference in Central Florida and having a really good time, a little bit of rain, but anyway. But David flew in just late last night, so probably got a little bit of the jet lag and all the different things. We were immediately came to a meeting where we were meeting with some of our Southern Baptist church planters and Southern Baptist leaderships about church planting centers. And both David and one of the guys who works on his staff, Greg Kappas, we're talking about what it means to build a center and stuff, and that's where we want to go today. But let me just introduce our guest here. Besides being the lead pastor for, you've been a lead pastor for over 30 years.
30, going on 33, Tom.
We're getting younger, brother. Yeah, we're getting closer to glory, I believe. But you've had success in building and growing three different churches in Maryland and Iowa and Florida, which is incredible. You're a trustee, I believe, on Luther Rice Seminary.
That's correct.
On that board, which is very good. I know you're getting ready to leave. We could say it tomorrow morning, but it's really late tonight. Yeah. You're leaving to go abroad. You've taught all over the world. Your wife's name is?
Loretta.
Loretta, and you have three grown children, and this is his proud part. He has three grandchildren. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Well, you've received your Master's of Art from Moody Bible Institute, a Master of Divinity from Luther Rice, as well as a Doctor of Ministry from there, and you're the founder of the Timothy Initiative, and that is a kind of a church planting movement that is both abroad and here. And so for our listening audience, we're in for a special treat today as we hear from this man. So David, let's talk a little bit about how God initially gave you a dream for being a church planting church and ultimately down the line how to become a church planting center.
Tom, as I read the Bible, to me it's all about the church. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
But today, our Lord's plan is to evangelize this world, fulfill the Great Commission through the planting of churches.
Amen.
And I just...
I'll preach, brother.
Amen. I see it on every page of the Bible practically.
Amen.
I'm exaggerating a little bit,
but
not much.
Yeah.
There are very few things dearer to the heart of God than planting churches. And so that's just been my emphasis here at home. But in the last few years, overseas also.
Yeah. Now God is you're headed. I don't know who you're flying with, but you're headed out of here at 4 o'clock tonight or tomorrow morning, however you want to word it. But you're headed out, you and Cap, for about a week long training over there.
Yeah.
So that's got to be exciting as you train. Didn't you tell me at breakfast this morning like 500?
We've got 500 graduates that are graduating this year
from your center school.
Yes, from that area of India. And we're bringing in another 500 that graduated in that area last year. So there'll be a total of 1,000 church planters. They're all church planters. Every one of them have already planted at least one church in the last 2 years.
And that's a great principle for our audience today to really hear, that as part of your strategy as a church planting church and a church planting center, you actually expect your church planters to plant at least a church after they start.
We figure if they can't plant a church, then how can we say they have graduated from a church planting school?
Yeah.
They have to plant a church.
Yeah.
It's part of the curriculum.
Well, and ultimately that helps the kingdom. That has a kingdom
Amen.
Impact. You think of the souls that are saved, as a result of that. And, I know that for those of you churches that are abroad, some are large in the world's, numbers, abroad numbers, but also some are small. And God's used all different types of people, in where you're ministering to plant those churches. But that is a great a great lesson for our audience to know is that, you know, really reproduction ought to be part of the DNA, would you say, in a church planner?
Yeah. Churches should be starting churches.
Amen.
I'm not opposed to denomination starting churches.
Mm-hmm. But that's only part of it.
That's part of it. Biblically, in fact, churches need denominations, I think, for the help and the mm-hmm. push. But biblically, I see it being churches that started churches. If a church is not starting churches, I don't think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, I know in one of the books I wrote in days past, I really asked that question, posed that question, is it really being obedient to the Great Commission if it's not in a planning or reproduction type of mindset? Because the Bible talks, I mean, where would it be if Paul hadn't started all the churches and all the journeys and all the, you know, missionary tours?
And if I could just add to that, when I read the Great Commission, especially in Matthew, when you talk about making disciples, baptizing and teaching, that's what the church is supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I think the way you fulfill the Great Commission primarily is by planting churches.
Well, I totally agree with that. I don't know if we'll hear anybody else say back negatively, but our listening audience would probably shout a hearty amen to that and say, keep on preaching it, brother. So it's interesting in our denomination, and I don't know what the numbers are in other denominations, but about 4.8 to 5% of our churches in our denomination actually plant, sponsor other churches. And I'm praying it in the days ahead as we think about all God's doing, that all of our churches, you know, we're a 48,000 plus denomination, would really see the beauty and the just incredible blessing that God gives as being a reproducing church.
Wouldn't it be something if every one of our churches could just plant one church this year?
Think what that would do to the kingdom impact. We talk about a church planting movement.
Yeah.
That would be an incredible thing.
Yeah, and even if they were tiny churches, just 30, 40, 50 people each, mm-hmm. you're talking thousands and thousands in a year's time brought into the kingdom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you think about even the smaller churches. When we started planning, one of the things that we said is we may not be able to be a full sponsor, but we would come alongside another sponsor and, you know, cluster with them. You might have the whole big portion of the package, but we would come by. We could maybe do the insurance, or we could do mm-hmm. launch money, or we could do things like that. And, you know, Southern Baptists have a whole history of that. If we all participate, more can be done for the kingdom. And that's been always my prayer, that we would see more of that happen in where we just kind of reach our arms around each other. Mm-hmm. And for the cause of Christ, you know, we seek to usher in the kingdom through planting of, you know, healthy New Testament churches. Now, you are a rather large church. I'm not saying that Brown knows you or anything, but most people may not know just how significant of a church that you are. All churches are significant, but Grace Fellowship in West Palm Beach is about a 3,300 participant church, member church. So here is a church for our listening audience that is putting, you know, its mouth and where its influence is right there, not only locally, but around the world. So in doing all that, what are some things that you've learned as the leader of leaders, but the leader of the flock, but also leader of, you know, the Timothy Initiative? What have you learned in really developing those centers, those schools, you know, churches, planting churches type thing? Tell our audience some things that you've learned in your journey.
Well, Tom, to me, integrity,
Amen.
You must reek with integrity, mm-hmm. if I can just put it that way. So much harm has been brought to the name of Christ over the years. Mm-hmm. There must be integrity. We stress that to our guys. We stress the importance of a strong work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of guys overdo it there, but there's...
I'd rather overdo it than underdo it,
yeah.
And church planters is not a laid-back sport.
No, it's not. The man that mentored me said he'd rather burn out than rust out.
Yeah.
And I
think I must have had his brother.
Well, well, I tend to agree with him.
Yeah.
So I think a work ethic is important. I think integrity is important. And I think maybe most of all, just having a burden and a vision to see people reached for the kingdom. Tom, if I can drive down the streets of my city and tears don't come to my eyes, seeing all the lost people around me, then there's something wrong in my heart.
Yep.
And I think we've lost that.
And if not, we've become callous.
We've become callous. That's the word right there.
Yeah.
So having that burden, that vision, You can plant churches today if you want to.
Amen.
And the more I do it, the more I realize it's not as hard as a lot of people think it is. It can be done.
I always say it's ministry, not brain surgery.
There you go. There you go. It's a good thing for me, it is.
For all of us. Now, you say you can plant churches if you want to. Share with me some of the dreams, some of the things that God's allowed your church to do. You are a church planting church locally and globally. So kind of share both portions of that, whichever way
okay.
you want to go.
Well, for years I started Bible institutes overseas, training pastors. The church is growing with an explosive rate, as you know, mm-hmm. in Asia and Africa, like no time in the history of the world. But there's a real dearth of training for leadership for pastors. But a couple of years ago, I kind of tweaked what I'd been doing mm-hmm. and decided I was just going to train church planters, nobody else. You had to be a church planter.
Because you had to get a little focused, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I got real focused. I thought our numbers would go down. It just exploded.
Oh, wow. Praise the Lord for that.
I never would have guessed it. And what we do is we go into rural areas where there are no schools, and we'll start a school. It may be under a tree. It may be in somebody's house. Mm-hmm. It's nothing fancy. We take the school to them, to the little villages, and we'll train about 25 church planters at a time. We put them through a one-year Bible training at our expense. It costs about $125 per pastor.
Per pastor, which is really pretty minimum when you think about
it. Yeah. Well, not only do they get a solid theological training, which is really needed in the places we mm-hmm. are, but they also must plant a church during that time. Typically, wherever they live, they start a church right there. So when we leave a year later, there are 25 churches planted in that region by men who all know each other. There's some fellowship. There's some mm-hmm. companionship there. And they've all received a good, solid education. Now, we've done that for the last 2 years and have seen over 6,000 churches produced. And, Tom, these are all, every one of them, in Hindu, Muslim, and Buddhist villages.
And that's what I'm just so amazed about, how God is using that strategy with you and your church. And, you know, as a Southern Baptist church sitting in the heart of West Palm Beach, it's amazing your reach, you know, global reach.
Yeah, well, it is amazing, and the sky is the limit. We feel with the funding we could plant 100,000 a year.
That's amazing.
We've got a delivery system that works. It's as inexpensive as anything you're going to find. And the thing is, there are that many guys overseas in Asia and Africa. I mean, the church is just exploding.
Amen.
And they're there, and they literally line up.
They need help, and they need training.
They need help. They need training.
Now, you said something last night when we were at dinner that I thought was an incredible strategy. You got in there as we were, you flew in late, and you got into the dinner after we had already started. But one of the things that you said about your training abroad, and we'll get to here in the United States in a second, but I mean, I made a note of this when I got back to my room last night. You said that we take the training out to where they are. We don't bring them into the city. We take it out to where they are so that they stay, and I don't know if I'm quoting you per se, but I'm quoting the gist of it, is so they stay out where their ministry needs to be so they don't get an itch to come back into the city. I thought that was extraordinary.
Yeah, what's happened, and again, this is over a period of, I'm kind of slow. It took me about 20 years to figure it out. But even in countries that are only 1% or 2% Christian, in the major cities, you'll find churches there and you'll find seminaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you leave those major cities and go out into the rural areas, you don't hardly find anything. And the reason why is because when you go into the little villages in places like Bangladesh or Nepal or even China, when you go into the little villages, oftentimes there's no power, there's no plumbing, the schools are horrible. And when you bring guys into the big city, and they see opportunities mm-hmm. for their family, and they live in an apartment that actually has water, after 3 or 4 years there, they don't want to go back.
Yeah.
And on top of that, if they do go back, the people in the little villages are so poor they can't support them.
Yeah.
So what we do is, rather than bringing them from the rural areas to the city, we take the school to them where they already live. That's what they're used to. That's all they know. and they get their training to plant a church right there.
And what an incredible indigenous, you know, we all talk about planting indigenous churches. And, you know, when you think about the, you know, being an indigenous church, that's really what we've been preaching about for a long, long time. So it is wiser to take the school out to them than it is to bring them in, because, yeah, you do. And then you, if not, you always have what I call those wandering eyes, thinking that, you know, it would be better back in the city as compared to right where God had called them to plant.
And, Tom, from a stewardship perspective, rather than having to build a big complex in the big city, we just use somebody's house, or we use somebody's church, or we use somebody's office. And if we can't find a location, again, we'll meet under a tree.
Yeah.
So cost-wise, there's no buildings, there's no utilities. It just saves so much money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for churches to say, well, I don't have enough money to plant churches, we actually haven't found that to be the case, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, the beauty of this thing is any church can do it. Any church can adopt a little area. In 1 year, they'd have 25 to 50 churches that they have planted in the same area.
Yep.
They can take their people there. They can work with the orphans. They can. It's direct missions, and it will bless a church like nothing else I've ever seen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn from international. Let's turn back to national. Share with us what you're doing and how you're connecting here in the, you know, in North America.
Yeah. Well, as always, I learn more when I go overseas than I teach.
Great. Yeah.
They teach me a whole lot more than I teach them.
Bring it back home.
And they kept telling me in Africa, how are we going to plant churches? We don't have money for buildings. And I'd say, well, just plant one in your house. And I got convicted about that. If the African can plant a church in his house, why can't the Anglo?
We talk a lot about churches that meet in homes.
Yeah. Well, I had been, we had planted seven congregations throughout the West Palm Beach area over 9 years. In the last, I came back and I decided, money or no money, I'm not going to sit here any longer. We're going to get really aggressive.
Get
on
after
this
it, yeah.
Yeah. So in the last 6 months, we have planted six small churches.
Amen.
Our goal is 10 a year for 10 years. We're going to plant 100 churches.
And that's what I wanted our audience to hear, that point right there. 10 a year for 10 years. Go ahead.
We're just training. All I did was I stood up in church one day and said, if anybody wants to be trained to be a church planter, come see me. And we started with like 40. And we've had maybe 10 or 12 that have been weeded out. But we're training between 25 and 30 right now. These are lay people in our church. And, again, we've started six. One of them's in a pizza parlor. One of them's in a trailer court community center. Two or three of them are in schools. A couple of them are in houses.
That's great.
Thus far, they've primarily been to ethnic groups, Guatemalans, Hispanics, Creole-speaking people.
Well, and that right now in where you're located is where, I mean, who would have known when God gave you the vision for 10, how it's not up to us to tell God, I want the 10 to be this or that. It's up to us to say, all right, God, I've heard your number. And think where you are now. You're 5 to 6, you know, in such a short time. You know, you're almost there. I keep praying that God will, you know, meet that first year goal. But just think through, if you had said, I only want to do this, you might have been nowhere. And far too often as a church planting church, we want to say, you know, I want to plant a church, but I only want to do it in, you know, and throw out whatever name of the city is, you know.
And Tom, those six churches, last week had well over 100 people in them. But listen to this. They have cost us nothing. We've not spent one penny. And that's another 100 people that have been reached.
That are in the kingdom.
That are in the kingdom that we don't see in our little facility. In other words, I don't know who they are. They don't know. They don't look at me as their pastor. They don't know me.
Yeah.
But that's another 100, 120 people that have been reached. And it didn't cost us any money. And it's got our lay people
excited.
Yes, excited and out doing what they're supposed to be doing.
And, you know, you and I were talking about this. What would you rather be known for? At you build a gym or you led a lot of people to the Lord, not you personally, but through the churches that you planted and the people that served in those churches. Think at like a new church, how many people they baptize more than a church that's been around a while. You know, it's a great evangelistic strategy.
Well, you're not kidding. 20 years from now, my church building will probably be a Walmart anyway. So I want to put my money and my time on people.
Amen, amen. Well, I love the idea of how you're using people in your church to plant locally. You're using people of your church to plant globally. You know, you're finding people to work with globally. I will be praying for you and Greg as you know you and Cap. Hit the airport early tomorrow morning and stuff. But if there was one last statement, you know, you share so many great things, 10 a year for 10 years, but you can plant churches if you want to. Tell our listening audience how they might be able to get a hold of you at Grace Fellowship.
Yeah, they go to our webpage, gfwpb.org.
That's www.gfpb.org.
WPB.
WPB, gfwpb.org.
Yeah, or they can go to the TTI website, which is www.ttionline.org.
And that stands for the Timothy Initiative. So, well, Doc, it's been great to have you as part of our Church Planting Group podcast. I'm going to look forward to doing this again.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, friends, it has been a blessing today. A lot of times we get the church planting guys that work in a church that are helping leading, but here is a pastor that when he says he wants to plant churches, he rolls up his sleeve and he's out training and teaching and doing and being part of that. And so that's a great blessing when we have a practitioner here, a specialist here, just to share with you what he's learned as he leads a mega church, but also as he has a heart for reaching the world through church planting. So thanks again so very
much. Thank you, Tom. God bless.
Now, friends, be sure to come back next week because the Lord is always opening doors and moving mountains through church planters. And as always, remember to visit www.churchplantingvillage.net for all of your church planting resource needs. Planting the seed of God's love in North America and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. By subscribing to this podcast, you've already taken some great steps to being trained and equipped for God's work of church planting. Also, be sure to check out churchplantingvillage.net for more resources and information on church planting, partnering churches, and field partners, plus the latest edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. Reaching America, Canada, and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.